Welcome in, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch is back, folks. That's right. 100%. Feeling good. He's back. Sam Wilson and Andrew Salchunas on the updates. We have a little present for you, Jamie, to welcome you back that we're going to get to probably in the next segment. So
it's nice.
No. We all thought about it and we wanted to get you something nice.
I hope it's a nice purse.
So is that weighted blanket you were talking about? What the hell is that?
You've never heard of the weighted blanket?
That sounds like a mafia torture. Sounds like, well, what happened to him? Well, you got the weighted blanket. Don't see him no more. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. What is a weighted blanket?
So it's really cool. It's this new thing that they have out now. It's like you can get up to 25 pounds. I believe, but like it's like a 20-pound blanket you put on it, and it helps like your anxiety, and it like really calms you and keeps you
damn millennials still.
So you can't get a strand for that?
You can't get a what?
You probably can. A nice indica.
Yeah.
By the way, is there anything worse than anyone right now telling you that they got all their Christmas shopping done already?
Yeah, Sam was like, I got mine all done in the beginning of December. And I was like, screw you.
My first thought, is
holiday spirit.
Go to hell. Merry Christmas.
I think Trey and I have this in common. How much Christmas shopping do you do?
None.
Yeah, okay. Trey and I have that in common.
I've done actually well this year. I've already gotten 2 presents, both for my wife.
Oh, good work.
My wife. Yeah, and I saw them both at Target, and I was like, yeah, done. Get those for us.
She's my wife.
You went in the candle section, didn't you?
I did not. That's a good idea. Yeah, I should go to the Marshall's candle section.
Marshall's, that's what it was. Marshall's.
That's where that angelic angel-faced Marshall's customer was shopping. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, so John DeFilippo, if you remember yesterday, a caller called up and said, oh, well, what if they fire John DeFilippo in Minnesota? And all of us were like, oh, come on, they're not going to fire Johnny. Well, he got fired. I am a little shocked that he got fired, because usually it takes a long time for organizations, well, not a long time, but longer than you would expect to make a decision on somebody, to let go of somebody that they just brought on that was thought to be something special. And a quarterback coach on a team with Carson Wentz and a team that just won a Super Bowl, a team that put up 41 points in the Super Bowl and 37 in the NFC Championship game, you would think, oh wait, let's give this guy a chance. Not the case in Minnesota. Apparently there is some butting of the heads over game plan between Mike Zimmer and John DeFilippo. Didn't like his attitude all that much, and I cannot take either of you seriously with those gloves on.
These gloves are awesome.
Okay. I was going to hold off on this because Bob was speaking with his hands and he's got the gloves on as well.
These gloves are awesome.
So let me just sidetrack for a second here, folks. Sorry, but Wednesday night, tonight, 76ers.
That was really good information. That was really good.
I do what I can.
But these
and
gloves.
Then you started to raise your hands as in, I don't know what to do with my hands.
These gloves are awesome.
So the Sixers are taking on Brooklyn tonight, and the Sixers and Tasty Cake are holding the 6th annual Tasty Cake Night, as the team takes on Brooklyn at 7 o'clock at the center, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Right now you can catch that game, of course, tonight. To help get fans ready for the winter, the first 5,000 fans will receive co-branded 76ers Tasty Cake mittens that will...
And they're awesome.
These aren't mittens. These are gloves.
No, these are gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they feel like mittens.
They feel like mittens.
They look
mittens.
Like O.J. Simpson gloves on you.
Yeah,
like they fit me fine.
Yeah,
on Trey, they're like,
they don't fit.
If they don't fit.
You know, well, because I have, you know.
What's your hand size, Trey?
Yeah, I have very big fingers.
Let me try that on. As part of the game's festivities, 100 parachutes carrying Tasty Cake treats will also be deployed from the rafters. They'll be dropped from the rafters,
okay,
as they always do.
All right.
Hit me with a crimpet.
Right between the eyes. So that's what's going on tonight. And Bob and Jamie, and Coach was running around today. He was throwing gloves to people, and I have a pair myself. I haven't put mine on because, I don't know.
They're pretty awesome. They work, you know, I can use my mouse and everything. My screen is touch screen. It works on my screen.
Yeah, it's got the touch thing. It's got the smart touch.
Yeah, that's
cool. It's got the smart touch.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Now Bob is wearing one glove.
Well, I can't. I got right with the other. Yeah.
It just keeps getting weirder in here, folks.
Yeah. You hit Michael Jackson. All right.
What the hell?
Yeah, man.
What?
This is what happened when Jamie's come back.
You did not see the show starting this this today.
This is not how I thought it would begin. This is an interesting thing. So, Trey, you and your gloves, would you reach out and touch John DeFilippo, bring him back?
Yes.
Damn right you would.
Yes, I would. Seems like, you know, and then, you know, even just watching the press conferences and everything yesterday, like, Mike Groh just really looks sad to say, hey, man, you know, DeFilippo got fired, man.
Now, I don't think that even if he comes back, he's going to be... I don't think they're firing Mike Groh and then hiring John DeFilippo. Like, I don't think that's happening.
Nah.
But, Bob, do you want him back?
I do. I want Carson to get some comfort around him, and I think John DeFilippo would be a comforting piece. So, yeah, I'd bring him right in.
Jamie Lynch, your first opinion since returning from a coma?
Baby, come back.
One of my favorite things, I think it was Life of a Philly Fan, put out on social media the famous gif of Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
Come give me a hug. Come on, let's go. Let's go. That kind of thing, he's crying.
I think Carson's biggest problem this year is mechanics.
Exactly.
And John DeFilippo apparently is a diligent sergeant when it comes to that. So why not?
Yeah, here's the thing.
And he was going to be OC anyway before the Patriots screwed the Eagles anyway.
Right, but I don't think they're firing Mike Groh to bring in John DeFilippo as offensive coordinator, like I just said. I don't think that's going to happen. But when you see these weird titles kind of pop up in the NFL that you don't really hear too much about.
Uh-huh.
Juan Castillo, when he went to Baltimore, was like run game coordinator.
Yeah, zone block specialist.
Yeah, okay. how about spread game consultant?
Yeah, spread game.
That was the title of Brad Childress when he went to Kansas City after he didn't get a job after being fired from Minnesota, I believe it was. So you have these names, bro. Video replay consultant, Jim Tressel, when he got fired from Ohio State and went to the Colts. Like, yeah. These names, just like, what title are we going to give him? He's my friend. Give him a job.
There you go.
Friend of coach.
We need him here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're going to bring him in a huge role like offensive coordinator, at least not with three games remaining in the season.
Nah.
But a guy that had been a good sounding board for Doug Peterson, a guy that more importantly had been a good sounding board for Carson Wentz, a guy that found the way to get the best out of Carson Wentz, I don't see why that would be a problem to bring him back into the fold. Maybe it'd even help a guy, because I don't think even if he comes back here in a short-term role, in a short-term, the three games left in the season, I don't think if he comes back, it's going to be the type of situation where he has a long-term deal here in Philadelphia. I think he's going to go on somewhere else, take on another job, and try to, what's the phrase? Kind of prove himself yet again after a debacle like that in Minnesota. I think he comes back here. I think they give him one of them fancy titles, and then he moves on. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be in the running for a Green Bay head coaching job or anything like that around the NFL.
Not now.
No.
But he's going to go around, and he's going to find an OC job again and probably get another chance, but I think it starts here in Philadelphia with him kind of steadying the waters around him right now, as they might say.
We just got a great tweet from Kay out there. She said, DeFilippo is Carson's weighted blanket.
I like that.
I like how she tied it in.
Good work by her.
I like how they tied that in there. It's fair. It's good hustle right there. But you're looking at a guy that is just, why not bring back a guy that obviously had a very positive impact on your head coach and your quarterback? And we got into this argument yesterday about Carson Wentz. He has not been abysmal last year, but I do not believe at all he has been that MVP candidate that we saw last year. We could all agree on that, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So if you bring the guy back that when we talked to Jaws last week or 2 weeks ago, Jaws said the mechanics, Ron Jaworski said the mechanics of Carson Wentz have been a little off. Why not bring the guy in there to make him feel comfortable? Maybe we'll push him to get back to the footwork that he needed to work on before last offseason, and also help him bounce back from the injury.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, I think, is what will lead the Eagles to bring. I'm not saying I want him back, and I do want him back, but what I am saying, I'm making a prediction that the Eagles do bring him back in some capacity.
Yeah, I would, too.
Do you think they'll actually do it, though? Like, we all agree that he should. I think they actually will.
I hope they do. I think so. Especially with the way things are going, you want to end this on a positive note. You want to make sure that you can kind of bring some comfort back to your quarterback, someone that's been struggling a little bit, where everybody can see it. So why not bring someone back to kind of help him get back to where he can be.
Yeah, it's comfortable. Very comfortable. The weighted blanket. We'll go into that. We'll, of course, be talking about that. We'll also let you hear from the current offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, Mike Groh. I admire guys that get asked about when they're getting fired. And they don't bat an eye about it. Because Mike got asked about it. Mike, like he's my buddy. Mike Groh got asked about it yesterday. Coach Groh got asked about it yesterday. And he was just like, yeah, I don't think about it. Yeah. And I remember towards the end of Big Red's tenure here in Philadelphia, Jeff McClain, it seemed like every other press conference was, so how does it feel that you think you might get fired? Everyone's talking about you losing your job. How do you feel about that? And I remember Big Red actually bouncing back at him a little bit, being like, yeah, I'm sure you'll be the first to know.
Yeah.
Interesting. But when you listen to all the things that Mike Groh was saying yesterday regarding the offense and the slow starts and his own job security and how he felt about John DeFilippo when he saw that a friend of his or heard that a friend of his got let go, we'll get that reaction. And then one of the things I'm most excited about, and I am because I love baseball, it's my number one, little hot stove.
Baseball's
sizzling.
Number one?
Sizzling. Oh, yeah, I've always been a baseball guy.
I knew that, but I didn't know it would go over football.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, I told you. I mean, I didn't grow up in a football-first household. I grew up in a football was fourth in my house growing up.
Wow, bocce?
Bocce cooking, weighted blankets, cement shoes. Anyway, no, but it was a baseball-basketball household, and then my dad just really liked hockey. Even though I never played it. He played football, but whatever. It just wasn't a thing. But no, then we got into football late. But we got the hot stove going on right now. And not just names like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, which are obviously still out there. We got names out there. Andrew McCutchen now coming to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. 3-year deal.
He's hilarious.
Andrew McCutchen?
Yeah.
Why is he
like, you see the stuff that he posts on Twitter all the time?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah,
I haven't really followed his Twitter too much.
You have to check
I followed
him
out. Reese Hoskins, who's like all but shooting off fireworks that Andrew McCutchen's coming to town.
Jimmy Rollins supported the signing very
Jimmy
much.
Jimmy Rollins, a big fan of Andrew McCutchen, now telling him to shave their, grow that beard back. So, because for Yankees policy, he couldn't have that, which might be the dumbest thing in sports.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I'll tell you if I can have a facial hair. Bucko. We also got, we're going to tell people more about our Super Bowl weekend we have planned. Jamie, you missed the big announcement yesterday. We got some Jimmy Butler stuff to get into. He was on the JJ Redick podcast. And
and I'm an incredible human being.
I think you're an incredible podcast guest. And also, by the way, John DeFilippo, we're going to talk about him with Adam Schefter, who's going to join us at 8 o'clock today. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to, from the Delco Times, Jack McCaffrey, who can cover all things sports. Hot stove, some hoops, a big win for Penn last night over Villanova in college basketball. All that and more we're going to get into. But do you want the Eagles to bring back John DeFilippo? And do you think it's going to happen? Plus, how impressed are you to this point with the Phillies' offseason moves? Not just at the winter meetings, but throughout this offseason to this point. How impressed are you with the Phillies? We're getting all that and more. Wide open line for you. If you want to get through, now's a good time for you. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic 614. On the line, Mr. Adam Schefter of ESPN. Of course, Adam, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mark, Trey, and Bob in Philadelphia.
Absolutely. Right. Always good to have you on, of course. And some news broke that hit close to home here in Philadelphia. Well, John DeFilippo being fired as the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. First off, I just want to get your reaction to that. Is that something you saw coming?
I was a little surprising. I mean, listen, they signed him in the offseason. They brought him out of Philadelphia, brought him to Minnesota with big plans, and they kept Kevin Stefanski, who was in line to become the Giants' offensive coordinator, in place as the quarterback's coach. So you got Stefanski as the quarterback's coach. You got John DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator. And then when they start struggling and there are open signals and messages, if you watch the broadcast, Monday Night Football, Monday Night, where they want to run the football more, that's what you keep hearing. I think that's the first hint that something's not right when Mike Zimmer is insisting that they run the football more. But I don't think that you're going to see a guy fired with 3 games to go. Like, even if they had said, you know, in private, it's really an emotional reaction to me, because even if you want to run the football more and you're not happy with the way things are going, then you know what? Internally, you shake it up a little bit. You go to John and you say, hey, John, I'm going to have Kevin call the plays. Want you around here to help break down the opponent, come up with a game plan, whatever it may be, but Kevin's going to call the place. And to me, it's really embarrassing to a guy to fire him in season, particularly when the offense had been performing the way it was, and there probably were ways to figure out ways to go around doing it the way they did it. They could have just not done that, waited to the end of the year, told John, go find another job. And now, in a way, they've kind of tarred the guy because he had been in line to become a head coach. He'd been talked about as a head coach. I'm not telling you he would have gotten one of those jobs, but his name had come up for one of those jobs. Now, if you're in Tampa or the Jets, or you come up with a team that's thinking of making a head coaching change, you're going to go fire the guy that the Vikings hired, the guy that just got fired as the offensive coordinator of the Vikings. So to me, they torpedoed his head coaching chances yesterday.
Sure, it certainly looks like a black eye for John DeFilippo to get fired, like you just pointed out, with those three games left. Very reactionary, as you said. Now, here in Philadelphia, his name has been brought up all year long. The offense doesn't look the same as it did last year, of course, and that can be for a multitude of reasons. But two names that have come up the most in Philadelphia are Frank Reich and John DeFilippo, and how much Doug Peterson may or may not miss those two assistant coaches on his staff. So with that being said, do you see any possibility, Adam, of John DeFilippo linking back up with the Eagles coaching staff in any capacity?
Well, are you talking about this season or next season?
I'm talking about both. Really, in the not, we'll put it this way, in the not too distant future.
Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it, I guess. It's funny. Yesterday, after this news broke, and I was talking to a couple of people, I'm like, "Was he going to coach this year?" And like, this just happened. You know, he just got fired. It wasn't like he was planning this. So,
right.
And they said it's so fresh. That's the word it was used. So it's hard to say. And so I guess that would be my cop-out answer to you right now. I'm not saying no. I mean, could he come back after the season? Sure. Why not? I'm sure he'd be open to that. Would Philadelphia want him back? What changes will the Eagles have to their coaching staff? Where would he fit in? I mean, it's just not a simple, basic question. I'm sure Philadelphia might have some interest. I'm sure he would have some interest. But what if somebody else wants him to be an offensive coordinator somewhere else? What if there's nothing else? What if he's got no other opportunities in Philadelphia? There's a lot that has to be sifted through. Generally speaking, I would just say, yeah, I could see it being possible. Yes.
Good enough for me. And you look at situations in the past with, like, Hugh Jackson recently gets fired as a head coach and then becomes a special assistant to the Bengals.
Right.
Brad Childress got a spread game coordinating consultant for the Chiefs with Andy Reid. Like, there have been guys that have been let go and then they're able to link up with another team in some other capacity. But you're saying you think this is something that John DeFilippo would suit his best interest to kind of let some time pass and see where he could go next offseason.
Yeah, I think that's logical and plausible. And by the way, you brought up the names Hugh Jackson and Brad Childress. And I can give you one other one where Josh McDaniels at one point was fired by the Broncos as their head coach in season. I believe it was like in November. And he joined New England staff and worked with them when they went to the Super Bowl that year. Now, those are three examples, but those are very uncommon.
Sure.
There are way more examples of coaches who are fired and then they don't work the rest of the year. Like, think of all the coaches already who've been fired this year. Just off the top of my head, Mike McCarthy, Nathaniel Hackett, Terrell Austin, the Lions special teams coach, Rob Marciano. The league is averaging a firing a week. Mike McCoy. Like, these guys are just being tossed to the curb. And the league has become, to me, more reactionary and more fiery and less patient, more impatient than ever before. And somebody's paying for some team's loss every single week with their job now, it seems like.
Chef, the Eagles offense has really struggled of late, and especially early in games. And Carson Wentz's play has come into concern with a lot of the fans. Through your years in the NFL, whether it was in Denver, whether it was covering the league, is this the norm for a quarterback coming off of this type of injury and the time that he did? Or is there reason for more concern?
You know what's funny? I had somebody say to me that was in Philadelphia last week for the Monday Night Football game. They came back and they said, I don't want to say anything, but it seems like the city of Philadelphia is turning against Carson Wentz. They think that they could do better. I'm like, really? And that was the vibe that the guy got from spending a few days there talking to people. And, you know, you guys are there. I'm not. I would just say this, that I'm sure the city is disappointed in Carson Wentz and the Eagles season this year and all those things like that. I would just say that quarterbacks typically go through up and down periods. And because he was so good last year, he could have won the MVP if he hadn't gotten hurt a year ago this week against the Rams, that the expectations for him this year were probably a little higher than they should have been, coming off a knee injury as significant as his was. And the team this year has really struggled. and it hasn't gotten turnovers the way that it normally would. And there are a lot of differences between this and last year, as everybody in Philadelphia knows better than me. And I would just say Carson Wentz is still going to be a star quarterback in this league. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Like, you'd want that guy to be the quarterback of your team, period. And so this is one of those seasons that just things just aren't working out exactly as they or you would like. But I can tell you that going into next season, people are going to be excited about Carson Wentz. They should be excited about Carson Wentz. I'll be interested in taking Carson Wentz in my fantasy teams next year.
There you go.
The guy's a big-time player.
You're thinking like top five, top three quarterback in the league?
Well, potentially he's capable of being that, absolutely. Now, is he going to be that next year? I don't know. You know, it depends on some of the personnel surrounding him. It depends on the coaching staff. Look at what one receiver did for Dak Prescott in Dallas. And that's not to say that there aren't receivers in Philly. They've made every effort to get these good receivers. But for whatever reason, this year, they just have not been able to get into a rhythm, a flow, get it going. And maybe they will in the final three games. I know hopes are not high for that. But they just have not been able to find that mojo that they had last year. Some years you get it in football, and some years you don't. And they don't got it going on this year for whatever reason.
Speaking with Adam Schefter, of course, of ESPN. Adam, when you look at all the coaches that have been fired, as you just kind of laid out, firing a week, as you said, do you see any changes happening? Again, I'll use this phrase, in the not-too-distant future when it comes to the Eagles and their coaching staff.
Well, I'll just say this, that with any team, anytime they disappoint, there are always changes. It's just, I mean, look at these teams. It's unbelievable. It's ridiculous. Okay, so I don't know what they're going to do. But to think that they go into camp next year with the same staff that they have now would be crazy. That's not going to happen. There'll be some changes, I'm sure. You're going to tell me that they're going to walk away from the season and say, boy, we're really content and really happy. we're just going to get it going again next year. Like, that's not going
to
happen.
Well, to be more specific, yeah. I agree with you 100%. The thing that I think more people are focusing on right now, especially because the offense hasn't looked nearly as much as potent as it was last year, averaging a touchdown fewer a game this season, is Mike Groh. And whenever you have an offensive-minded head coach like Doug Peterson, who was a quarterback in the league, and then you have a guy like Mike Groh come in, first-year offensive coordinator, there's a lot of questions right there. So is there even talk of evaluating his performance throughout this season?
Yeah, of course he's going to be evaluated. But that's my point. And I don't know how they'll wind up in the end. Like, do they say, boy, you know, Mike needs an assistant, or we need to just change the arrangement here, or we need to get a new offensive coordinator in here, or let's bring in John to go work with Mike. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do whatever they're going to do. But, again, I can assure you that you don't go through a season like they're going to go through and think that everything is just going to be left intact. That's not going to happen. I can't tell you whether that means changing titles, changing a job, changing jobs, plural. Like, I don't know. But something's going to happen.
Shefty, in talking to people around the league after this weekend's games, what's the reaction of the referees and the call that was missed on the Eagles' opening kickoff? Yeah. Is it bigger here? Is it a real problem, like, throughout the NFL that they're talking about it?
So it's a problem in Philadelphia this week.
It sure is.
There was that scrutinized call at the beginning. There was the horrible call in Dallas Goedert. There was a terrible call that changed the tone of that game at that point in time. And, you know, I was going through, and I think roughly there are, 120 plays in the game? I don't know the exact number. Maybe some are 110, some are 130, 40, whatever it is. But, you know, if we get 120 play calls a game, in 16 games, that gives us 2,080 play calls on a given weekend. And it's easy to find the ones that are wrong, because when they're wrong, they're wrong, and they miss blatantly, and it's easy to see. But if we're reviewing and looking at, let's just say, 10 disputed calls from over the weekend that were really egregious, that we as fans see, 10 out of 2,080, think about that. You know, it's such a small percentage. And I'm not defending the officials, because they've been awful at certain times. Mm-hmm. Okay? But I think sometimes, again, just like teams get reactionary, we get reactionary. Mm-hmm. So we see a horrible call and we say, man, that is just all. How do these officials let this go on? You know, but the truth of the matter is there are hundreds of calls, thousands of calls in a given weekend that they're probably getting right. And with technology being what it is today, where we get replays and angles and every view and slow motion and super slow motion, you know, it's so easy for us to do their job. And they're on that field doing, saying that they blew calls there that were egregious there. It was awful.
Yeah, that's terrible. Something. Yeah, and that's something that I think a lot of people are upset with, the fact that they did have the replay, and especially with the fumble. They have the opening kickoff. They have the replay, and they still got it wrong. They said they couldn't find a clear recovery.
I don't understand that. Like, you know, that's what New York is there for, right? To make sure that those kinds of errors don't occur, and yet they do. And so that's something that the league's going to take a look at to make sure that they can't have that going forward.
I know. Well, we're going to be hearing more about that as the week goes on. Adam Schefter, always great talking to you, my man. Thanks for coming on with us.
Did we make enough changes to the Eagles coaching staff?
I think we have everybody fired. I think everyone's gone. John DeFilippo's coming back. He's going to be the GM. They're going to fire Howie Roseman as well, and Joe Douglas. He's going to run everything, and they're going to win 10 more Super Bowls. So we solved the world's problems.
And Dick Vermeil's coming out of retirement to help out, too, so it'll be all good.
He'll be assistant head coach. Adam, great catching up with you. Yeah, thanks, man.
You guys have a great week.
All right, you too. I appreciate it, man. I do have to play this for you. Before I get to Jack McCaffrey, I want you to hear Mike Groh yesterday. When he was addressing the media, he had just heard about the John DeFilippo firing and was also asked about his own job security. Here's that cut.
Well, I just heard that before I walked down here. So John's a really good friend. And obviously feel for him today. And unfortunately, that's part of this business. But he's a good friend, and I wish him all the best.
For lack of success, the offense has had, in general, this year, there's going to be a lot of criticism, and a lot of that's going to fall on you as the coordinator, you know, up to wondering about your job security. How do you handle that criticism?
I just come to work, and, you know, I don't really get involved with any of that stuff. Just trying to put a great plan together and try to win one game this week.
Well, on the line with us right now to help decipher everything that was the Mike Groh press conference, as well as John DeFilippo being fired in Minnesota. On the line with us right now on 97.5 The Fanatic, WP and Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, our good friend Mr. Jack McCaffrey. What's going on, Jack?
Hi, Mark.
How you doing, sir?
It's doing great, thanks. Bob, Trey.
All right.
How are you, Jack?
Jack, you're looking at this story now. Mike Groh was already in some hot water with everybody here in Philadelphia. But then you're looking at the idea of the possibility of John DeFilippo coming back. What do you draw from this story?
That was an interesting press conference yesterday. And the fact that he was directly asked about his job security, well, he handled it a lot better than I would have handled it, I'll tell you that. But what do I make of it? I make of it pretty basic. They are going to do what's best for Carson Wentz. That's what they're going. That's what they've done. They're into this guy for two first-round picks, a second, a third, and a fourth. And everything they've done is to benefit him, whether that is go out and rent Golden Tate for a third-round pick, whether that's to bench the Super Bowl MVP to give him his job back, whether that's to play him earlier than you might have after his injury. This franchise is married to Carson Wentz and what's best for him. If they believe that bringing John DeFilippo back is best for Carson Wentz, that's what they're going to do. And whether that means Mike Groh's in trouble or they bring him back as a consultant or whatever it is, that's what's going to do. If Carson Wentz tells them, no, that's not necessary, don't do that, then they won't. But if Carson Wentz gives them the wink-wink that this is the guy I want, that's where they're going to go.
What do you make of Carson Wentz's struggles this year? Do you attribute to the injury mentally or physically in any capacity?
Yeah, you have to. It's the only way you can go. Because if you saw him play last year, of course you did, he was spectacular. A talented, the best Eagles quarterback I've seen in years, maybe in my entire life. I don't remember seeing anybody play the quarterback position like that. He is a splendid, spectacular, cut above, star potential player, and he wasn't that this year. The only way you can judge that is to say, okay, he needed the year. You've seen that in sports for years and years and years. A guy coming off an injury sometimes needs a year. If he comes back next year and plays subpar again, then let's revisit this. But I'm willing to give him a mulligan.
So you think that they would go and ask Carson if bringing back DeFilippo would help him? And then also, do you think that Carson has the mindset where he would say, you know what, Press Taylor isn't working for me?
That's a great question, Trey. You would probably know better. They obviously would know better than me, having been in those situations, obviously. But from afar, everything they've done is, at least offensively, is based upon what they can do to benefit Carson Wentz. And you understand that. Again, two firsts, a second, a third, and a fourth. They're into this guy for 10 years. It better work for them. If that doesn't work for them, well, it's obviously worked, but they got a Super Bowl out of it. But if it doesn't work for them for 10 years, they're in real trouble. So they pretty much have to, something as minor as this, an assistant coach, if Carson Wentz thinks an assistant coach will help him, they'll do that in a minute.
So my question,
does Carson Wentz have the authority over the head coach, over the GM? No. Assistant coach? I would think he does. He should.
Yeah. So do you think he would say, all right, you know what, Press just isn't working for me?
He probably would do it in less words in a less subtle way than that. Yeah. More of a wink, wink. I think he's too class of an act to just have somebody lose his job. But yeah. There's ways to communicate. There's ways to let it be known that, you know who's really good was John DeFilippo. Just throw it out there like that. Let them make the decision. They'll be able to read the tea leaves.
Jack, do you get the feeling, you know, when we look at it from afar and we're trying to figure out what's wrong with this Eagles offense, what's so different than last year? The personnel is basically the same. So we're kind of baffled as to why it isn't working. Do the players know why? Do you think, is there some underlying reason that it's not working and the players know?
My guess, Bob, as you know, if they knew, they would correct it. It's not quite the same. The running backs are gone. They missed Ajayi. They're a little older. They're a little older. And again, Wentz is banged up, relatively speaking, to where he was last year. It had a couple bad breaks. All of the above accumulate. The defense is not the same. So therefore, there's more pressure on the offense. It's all accumulation of things. Okay. I think my guess is that if they knew what was wrong, they would correct it. And I do think that it's not quite the same offense as it was last year.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.